Would you turn in your Bibles to the book of Leviticus? This morning I want us to look at a passage of Scripture that deals with sabbatical rest or the Sabbath principle of rest, and just draw some principles that may apply to us that perhaps will be helpful to us as we journey through this life and anticipate and with an eye toward the life to come. And that eternal rest that our Lord Jesus has secured for us in new heavens and new earth. This entire chapter deals with some other ideas about what would happen in what was a sabbatical year, or what's called the year of Jubilee. I'm not going to read all of those verses. We may refer to them, though, as we move through our study. Notice there's something on the wall back there. I can't see it very well. That wasn't there, I don't think, when I left. You know, there's a story told about a little boy who asked his dad, Daddy, what does it mean when the pastor takes off his watch and places it on the pulpit? To which he answered, absolutely nothing. Let us read God's holy word from the 25th chapter of the book of Leviticus, verses 1 through 12. The Lord then spoke to Moses at Mount Sinai, saying, speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land which I shall give you, then the land shall have a Sabbath to the Lord. 6 years you shall sow your field, and 6 years you shall prune your vineyard and gather in its crop. But during the seventh year, the land shall have a Sabbath rest, a Sabbath to the Lord. You shall not sow your field nor prune your vineyard. Your harvest after growth you shall not reap, and your grapes of untrimmed vines you shall not gather. The land shall have a Sabbath year. And all of you shall have the Sabbath products of the land for food, yourself and your male and female slaves and your hired man and your foreign resident, those who live as aliens with you, even your cattle and the animals that are in your land shall have all its crop to eat. You are also to count off 7 Sabbaths of years for yourself, 7 times 7 years, so that you have the time of the 7 Sabbaths of years, namely 49 years. You shall then sound a ram's horn abroad on the 10th day of the 7th month. On the Day of Atonement, you shall sound a horn all through your land. You shall thus consecrate the 50th year and proclaim a release throughout the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you, and each of you shall return to his own property, and each of you shall return to his own family. You shall have the 50th year as a jubilee. You shall not sow, nor reap its aftergrowth, nor gather in from its untrimmed vines, for it is a jubilee. It shall be holy to you. You shall eat its crops out of the field. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that in this restless world, where there is much trouble and much trial, we have the great promise of rest and peace in the arms of Christ. We thank you that He speaks peace to us. My peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, give I unto you. So says our Lord Jesus. We confess, O Lord, that we are often disturbed and restless and troubled and lacking peace. And so we pray, Heavenly Father, that you would show us that Sabbath rest that you have secured for us by the work of Jesus. And I pray, Father, if there would be someone here who does not know Jesus, that he might come to know him even this day as the Prince of Peace and have rest for his soul. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Once a first grader became curious because her father every day brought home a briefcase full of papers and after dinner proceeded to continue his work. And she asked about it to her mother. Her mother explained, "Well, Daddy has so much work to do that he cannot finish it all at the office. That's why he has to bring work home with him at night." The little girl thought for a minute, and then she said, "Well, why don't they put him in a slower group?" Well, sometimes, of course, our work pours over into other places in life. And work can encroach upon us, and we can find ourselves almost slaves to our work. That's not the way it ought to be in our lives, and not the way that God has designed it. So the Sabbath principle has at its very heart the regulation of life and the regulation of work and rest. So I want us to think about the benefits and blessings of the Sabbath principle in two ways. One, as a great regulator of life, that which structures life before God. And then also as a great reminder of the restoration that comes into our lives by God's grace. First, the Sabbath principle as a regulator of life. We often associate the Lord's Day with the end of the week because of the way in which our work-rest patterns have developed over the years. So we now have what we call the weekend. And of course, you know, weekends are made for Michelob, right? That's why we have weekends, so that we can drink beer. Of course, that's the way it's become in our culture that is obsessed with entertainment. But the weekend is the time that God has designed for us, this Sabbath principle of rest that is not just some minor regulation that allowed the Israelites to have time off, but rather the Sabbath principle of rest was woven into the very fabric of the life of Israel. And so when we read the Word of God, especially the Old Testament Scriptures, we find that all of life was regulated by God, and that this Sabbath principle was a major part of that regulation of their life. And so there was the weekly creation Sabbath. There were special ceremonial Sabbaths that occurred periodically in the life of God's people around the ceremonies and festivals that were required of them in the ceremonial law. And then we read in this text, there was also, in addition to that, a Sabbath year. And then in addition to that, this Jubilee Sabbath that took place every 50 years. First, of course, there was the creation Sabbath that was established by God Himself after the pattern of God Himself. God created the world and all that exists in 6 days and then rested on the seventh day. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed and all their host, and by the seventh day God completed His work which He had done, and He rested on the Sabbath day from all His work which He had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it He rested from all His work which God had created and made. Thus the pattern for Sabbath observance, one day in seven, was established by the example of Almighty God Himself in the very creation of the universe and all that exists. And it was then encoded in the Ten Commandments. It is the fourth commandment, sandwiched between the third and the fifth, a perpetually binding principle that governs all of life. In our Westminster Confession of Faith, in the chapter that deals with the law of God, the law is divided up into three categories: moral law, which is the Ten Commandments, civil law that govern man's relationship to man, and ceremonial law that speaks of the redemption that we have in Christ. The moral law is said to be perpetually binding, encoding 10 principles of universal application to all men in all times and all places. Thus, the weekly observance of the Sabbath day is a fundamental regulator of life for man. It is one of the most basic principles for the ordering of life, personal life, family life, business life, community life. It structures and governs how we live our lives before God. So I might ask you this morning, how does the fourth commandment, how does the weekly observance of the Sabbath day, that 24 hours at the very beginning of the week, the first day of the week as we observe the Lord's Day, how does that regulate and govern the pattern of life for you? How does it regulate the order of your life, the planning of your life, the rhythm of your life, or does it at all? How could this principle in practice aid you spiritually in life and family as what the Puritans called the feast day of the soul? Now, besides the weekly creation Sabbath, there was also the special ceremonial Sabbath. I think that's what the Apostle Paul is referring to in Colossians chapter 2 when he talks about special days that people tried to bind people's consciences with. These were ceremonial Sabbaths, special Sabbaths that passed away with the ceremonial law, no longer binding upon us, but they were holy convocations required by God of Israel. A special Sabbath before the Day of Atonement and one concurring at the end of the observance of Passover, Feast of Unleavened Bread, special Sabbath days of rest and celebration. And so you had the creation Sabbath happening every week, and then these additional Sabbaths at special times. And then in our text this morning, Leviticus 25, there was also a Sabbath year. Every 7 years was a Sabbath year. The Lord then spoke to Moses at Mount Sinai, saying, "Speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land which I will give you, then the land shall have a Sabbath to the Lord. 6 years you shall sow your field, and 6 years you shall prune your vineyard and gather in its crop. But during the seventh year, the land shall have a Sabbath rest, a Sabbath to the Lord. You shall not sow your field nor prune your vineyard. Your harvest after growth you shall not reap, and your grapes of untrimmed vines you shall not gather. The land shall have a sabbatical year." So this principle of Sabbath rest, periodic cessation of labor, pulling back for rest of body and soul, was not only on a weekly basis and other special Sabbaths, but also extended to an entire year of rest for the land and the cultivation of the land, and thereby also a reduction of labor for the people of God as well. In other words, there's a plan that God has established in the pattern of the life of His people, which was, you could put it this way, you buy six and get one free. 6 days you labor and God provides you all that you have need of so you can stop without labor at least one day a week, and then special other Sabbaths, and then also every seventh year an entire year of reduced labor and rest. Man under God was never meant to be a slave to his work. His work was to be under the glory of God, in the service of God, but never to be a slave of his work. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work. And not only did you get one day free out of each seven, but as Israel was to function in the promised land, you would get 1 year free out of every 7 years. And then every 50th year, if you lived that long, an extra year during the Jubilee. In fact, you were forbidden to work and cultivate your crops in the seventh year. The land itself was to observe a Sabbath. You don't plant any crops, you don't harvest any crops, but you live off of what the land may just spontaneously produce or what you saved in the other 6 years as you planned. John Calvin remarks, if anything should spring up from the scattered seeds of last harvest, it was common property of the inhabitants of the land and strangers, although he peculiarly bestowed whatever grew of itself, whether corn or grapes, upon the poor. God would have the observation of the Sabbath engraved on all creatures, that wherever the Jews turned their eyes, they might be kept up to it. And thus you see how this expanded Sabbath principle of rest regulated the life of the Israelite nation. And then there's also this Jubilee year that would come every half century, where they would count off 7 Sabbaths of years for themselves, 7 times 7 years, so that you would have the time of the 7 Sabbaths of years, namely 49 years, and then they would sound a ram's horn abroad on the 10th day of the 7th month, on the Day of Atonement. You shall sound a horn all through your land, and you shall thus consecrate the 50th year and proclaim a release throughout the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee for you, and each one will return to his own property, each one will return to his own family. So, weekly Sabbaths, special Sabbaths around the ceremonies and festivals and feasts, and then the sabbatical year every 7th year, and then this jubilee Sabbath year every 50 years. Verse 9 tells us that this special Jubilee Sabbath year began on the 10th day of the 7th month. And you know that is when they start to observe the Day of Atonement. Leviticus 23, verse 27, on exactly the 10th day of this month is the Day of Atonement. It shall be a holy convocation for you. You shall humble your souls and present an offering by fire to the Lord. Verse 9 tells us in 25 that is the day upon which this year of Jubilee, this extra special Sabbath observance would begin. And Andrew Bonner in his commentary says that the Jubilee always began on the evening of the Day of Atonement. There was first given to the people a full display of the way of pardon by all the ceremonies of that day. Thus they were taught, and we by them are taught, that the full atonement of Jesus, because the Day of Atonement points to that one who is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, his blood shed and sprinkled on the mercy seat, his coming forth without sin unto salvation, is the foundation and the groundwork of all other blessings, especially the blessings of peace of conscience and rest for our bodies and souls throughout all eternity. So before they entered into this year of Jubilee, they are reminded of the redeeming grace of God. They acknowledge the magnitude of their sin, which disturbs their souls, and the surpassing magnitude of the grace of God that brings rest to their souls by grace and mercy. Blessings not earned by their obedience, the blessing secured for them by the atoning sacrifice. And as was the case with the Sabbath year, so the Jubilee year, there was no sowing, there was no reaping, there was no gathering. They were allowed to eat whatever was growing in the fields spontaneously, but they were not allowed to work the fields or to plant the crops or harvest the crops for an entire year. And if that were not glorious enough, in addition to the year of rest from their labors, there were additional benefits also to be enjoyed. And thus, living by faith and depending upon God's providence in providing them what they need for this extra year, they enjoyed the rest and blessing of the favor of their God. Thus, you can see that the entirety of life, family life, business life, civil life, all of it was governed and regulated by this Sabbath principle of rest. The entire covenant life of Israel structured by this Sabbath law. Family, worship, commerce, civil life, all regulated by this principle, constantly bringing you back always to worship, constantly reminding you that your chief end in this world is not the pursuit of yourself or your own pleasures, but rather is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Regulating and reorienting all of life and perspective on life, every week that passed, every special Sabbath that occurred, every seventh year that came, boring it down into the consciousness of God's people, and then in the 50th year, doubling down again. Now, this morning I want you to think also, though, not just of how it regulates life, but also this Sabbath principle, especially in this Jubilee year of spiritual rest and restoration, regulation and also restoration. Sabbath word means to cease or desist or to rest. It is the day when you have permission from God to abandon your labors, a day for refreshing of both body and soul. It means that because all is well with my soul, can you say that? Because you have peace with God internally, there is no animosity and no conflict that exists between you and the creator of your soul. Because you have peace with God and can say it is well with your soul, you can sit down on the Lord's day and be at peace and rest. I don't have a restless soul that is never satisfied and cannot stop and cannot cease in labor to worry or to fret. I don't have an anxious soul that is full of guilt about the past and failures, or dissatisfaction about the present and what I don't have, or worry about the future and what I anticipate. But because my God has redeemed me by the sacrifice of my Savior and restored me, I can sit down and rest and know that all is well with my soul. And so I don't try to satisfy the longings of my soul with things, accumulating more and more and more stuff beyond anything I could possibly need. What drives us to that kind of madness is dissatisfaction of soul, is inability to rest. So this principle prods you. As God says, I want you to stop one day in seven and rest. This principle prods you to ask yourself, can I stop? Can I rest? Is my soul at peace with God? And can I say, it is well with my soul? Well, this we can do if we place our souls in the arms of Jesus. If we know Him to be our Passover Lamb, if we know Him to be that one who on the Day of Atonement was symbolized when the priest placed his hand upon the head of the scapegoat and drove him out from the people into the wilderness, and the other goat was symbolically bearing the sins of God's people and was sacrificed and bore the weight of God's judgment in the place of guilty sinners. If we know that about our own relationship to God through the Lord Jesus Christ, then there is peace. There is wellness in our souls. And of course, the focus of the weekly creation Sabbath and also the Christian's Lord's Day is that this rest is given to us as a free gift. We celebrate rest on the first day of the week and enter the week with that rest in our souls, knowing that all that has needed to be done for us to secure peace for us for all eternity has been done by Jesus. And this principle of rest is expanded and amplified to the people of Israel in the observance of a Sabbath year, and then also in the Jubilee year. And in those observances, both man and beast rest. And the land itself also enters into a Sabbath rest. The land lays uncultivated, fallow for an entire year. And on the occasion of Jubilee, 2 years. And then there is this principle of restoration. There is forgiveness of debt. Whatever your debt would accumulate in 49 years, now your debt is gone. There is restoration of land. However you might have lost your property and your family through foolishness or whatever it might be, it is restored to you in the Jubilee year. Restoration. Can you imagine that? Haven't you ever just wanted... don't you like when you, if you play golf, any of you ever play golf? I swore off of golf a long time ago. But the most beautiful word in golf is the word mulligan. Mulligan. Or a do-over. Or wouldn't you like to be able to push a reset button? Start over. It doesn't take long. In 50 years, if you lived to be that long, perhaps maybe you would have two Jubilee years in a lifetime, one when you're young and then another in your old age. But in 50 years, you accumulate a lot of mess ups. And you could push a button, and some of the consequences of your sin, loss of property, perhaps even slavery because you indebted yourself because of poor financial situation, all of it could be restored. Can you imagine this? What great joy it would bring. How you would anticipate that year of Jubilee. No matter how badly you messed up, no matter that you lost your land, lost your house, had to enslave yourself to a fellow Israelite in indentured servitude, in the year of Jubilee, all of it is restored. You get your house back. You get your property back. You get your freedom back. Everything lost is restored. What great hope, what great blessing would await you and would be realized. And of course, this is pointing to what Jesus does for us by the gospel. This is the good news of the gospel, that which you has been lost by your sin and by all the mess ups you commit can be restored and will be restored in the great Jubilee of eternal life in new heavens and new earth. So this is pointing us to a coming day of total and absolute restoration that would not need to be repeated every 50 years, but would be eternal and unending. A day of permanent rest and permanent joy. And we find this in the teaching of our Lord Jesus in the synagogue in the city of Nazareth in Luke 4, 16 to 21, when Jesus says, "This is now the day of the Lord to proclaim freedom to the captives." It is in the Lord Jesus Christ that you find restoration of all that sin robs you of. You don't have to live very long to know the thievery of sin in your life, what you've lost as a result. Friends or family or houses or land, a business, your innocence, a clear conscience, a guilt-free soul, all of that, all of it, imagine it, all of it restored to you in Christ. Isn't that glorious? It is in Christ that true liberty is found. It is freedom from bondage to your own lust and freedom to serve Him who alone is worthy of your allegiance. The Jubilee of Christ's first coming, when He proclaimed freedom to the captives, brought us redemption of the guilt of sin
and from its dominion. The jubilee that is coming when Christ returns yet again will bring redemption from all the bitter consequences of sin, all that has been lost because of sin, and also from the very presence and existence of sin itself. The celebration of this jubilee year would prefigure what God would bring into our lives through Christ in the glorious day of new heavens and new earth.
So the Apostle Paul tells us that even the very creation longs for this glorious day, when the very creation itself, the land, the earth, will be renewed. What blessing God has given to us to remind us of that in the weekly observance of the Sabbath day and the great rest that we have, body and soul. The story is told about a man who was very skilled at chopping wood. And he challenged a man one day to a contest to see how much wood they could chop in a day. And the man who put forth the challenge during the day that they were in their competition took a leisurely lunch, and he took several breaks throughout the day. And at the end of the day, the challenger was surprised and annoyed to find that the other man had chopped substantially more wood than he had, even though he had not taken long for lunch and had taken no breaks. He said, "Every time I checked, you were taking a rest, yet you chopped more wood than I did. How can that be?" He said, "But you didn't notice that when I took a rest, I was sharpening my axe, rejuvenating, being restored, and thus able to serve God full of joy, body and soul." May God help us to that end as we pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for the great gift of this holy day of rest that you have given to us, that we need not be slaves to our work, and when we can rejoice and know that we can say that it is well with our souls. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.